This is 90.7 WFAE News. I'm Kevin Kniestad. It's 7:33. It's House Speaker Tom Tillis versus incumbent Democrat U.S. Senator Kay Hagan in the general election. Tillis cruised to victory in the Republican primary, winning about 45% of the vote in the eight-person race. There was plenty of rhetoric in his victory speech.
Kay Hagan and Harry Reid are nothing but an echo chamber for President Obama's worst ideas. When Obama wanted to borrow...
For her part, Hagan said in a statement that Tillis has pushed a, quote, special interest agenda that has rigged the system against middle-class families. Joining us now to discuss this race and other observations from the primary results is Catawba College political science professor Michael Bitzer. Good morning.
Good morning.
Professor Bitzer, it seems like these two have been running against each other during primary season, so I guess it's only fitting that they face each other in the general.
We have actually got the epic battle that we were all thinking that we were going to get. The big news certainly was that Speaker Tillis survived and does not have to go to the summer runoff primary with winning that 45-46%, well over that threshold mark. It looked like he was going to get there based on the polls leading into Tuesday, but it really did show a pretty convincing victory. And it looks like he's going to be able to consolidate most of his conservative base into the general election. So what we've got now is basically the two candidates, but we also have surrogates. It's going to be the Koch brothers versus Harry Reid. It'll be Obamacare versus the state legislature. This will be one of the key marquee races going into this fall's general election.
Republicans have such a firm grip on the General Assembly, in part because it did such a good job or bad job, depending on your point of view, in redrawing districts a few years ago. Senator Hagan is attacking Tillis for legislation that's passed on his watch. Can we look at this race as a statewide referendum on the General Assembly?
I think the Democrats will have to make Tom Tillis basically the poster boy for the unpopularity of the General Assembly. I think we've already started to hear some of the beginning snippets of the attacks by the Hagan campaign against Tillis and, more importantly, the General Assembly. You've got to remember that among the Democratic base, particularly folks that adhere to the Moral Monday protest, this will be the key event going into the summer that will really help to energize and mobilize a Democratic base that has got to get out. In the fall, what we will see is a much more Republican electorate than what we do in presidential years when she first ran in 2008. And so what she needs and her campaign needs to do is to make the legislature and Tom Tillis as one of the leaders the enemy. What Tom Tillis will do is counter with Harry Reid, and particularly Obamacare. So it's going to be a fight among surrogates. We'll also have independent expenditures come in that will probably dwarf what the candidates will be spending, but it is going to be an epic battle come this fall.
All right, the 12th congressional seat was held for two decades by Charlotte's Mel Watt. State Representative Alma Adams of Greensboro won a very crowded Democratic primary. Are you surprised that that didn't go into a runoff?
I think everybody was counting on a runoff going into it. Looking back on it, we probably should have figured out that, you know, even though Mecklenburg County holds 53% of the voters, all of those candidates out of Charlotte really split the votes very badly, and Alma Adams was able to consolidate her base in Guilford County, and also do fairly well here in Mecklenburg to really put together a vote total that I think surprised a lot of people. She will also be the interim candidate going into this fall's November election against Vince Coakley. So the likelihood is she will start later in November after the general election because this district is so heavily Democratic.
Okay, let's switch to the state Supreme Court race. Democratic Justice Robin Hudson overcame a nasty ad by a conservative super PAC that accused her of being sympathetic to child molesters. She finished first in her supposedly nonpartisan primary and faces Republican Eric Levinson in the general. Overall, four of the seven Supreme Court seats are on the general election ballot. About a minute, why are these races going to be so intriguing?
Well, it's certainly the factor of nonpartisan, but they are partisan. Both parties will adhere and will support their respective candidates. And this is also a low information election. You know, once you get down the ballot, you generally tend to see voters drop off because they don't know who these people are. But the third branch of government, the judiciary, is critical. The Republicans already control the Supreme Court. They also want to add their numbers on there, as well as having a solidified control of the legislature and the executive branch. So this is really going to be one of the key races in the state that will help to determine further GOP control or not going into the future.
Michael Bitzer, political science professor at Catawba College and author of WFAE's political blog, The Party Line. Thanks a lot, Michael.
My pleasure.